Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
What's the top of the agenda this year? What's going to drive the headlines? Healthcare, Gitmo, terrorist camps in Yemen?
Iraq is yesterday's war. Afghanistan is today's war.
There was no smoking gun.
That should be a cautionary tale for President Obama.
This will help millions of people and end up being the most significant piece of domestic legislation, at least since Medicare and maybe since Social Security.
We talk to our experts and ask them to look into the crystal ball.
I've seen the future and it will be. I've seen the future and it works.
Because analysts are always so good at predicting the future. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Monday, January 4th, and guess who's back in town? John Hockenberry. Welcome back and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Did you have a good time there with Skywalker last week, Luke Burbank?
I did. It was very difficult not to say Luke.
The Takeaway.
Use the Force.
The Takeaway. Today, The Takeaway is the first Monday of the decade, right?
It is.
There we go. And let's get right to the stories we're following this morning. New airline security rules go into effect this morning. From now on, all citizens from Nigeria, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, and 11 other nations who are flying to the U.S. will see full body pat-downs and will have to go through body scanners. Even if they've been living in a country like England for decades, if they're citizens of one of the 14 countries on the new list, they'll face the extra security. In Yemen, the U.S. and British embassies remain closed due to direct al-Qaeda threats. Senator Joe Lieberman tells ABC News the U.S. has to act quickly to head off the growing danger.
Iraq is yesterday's war. Afghanistan is today's war. And if we don't act preemptively, Yemen will be tomorrow's war. We are acting preemptively now.
The U.S. plans to more than double its counterterrorism support to Yemen this year.
While the size of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula isn't known, President Obama's top counterterrorism advisor puts the number at several hundred in Yemen. Two of the group's commanders are believed to be former prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, which is clouding President Obama's plan to shut down the facility. Former CIA director under President Bush, Michael Hayden, tells NBC News.
Some people that we decided to release, with our best judgment at the time, have returned to the fight. That should be a cautionary tale for President Obama.
An estimated 90 Yemenis remain at Guantanamo. President Obama will meet with top security advisors tomorrow to review how to tighten security procedures after the attempted terror attack on Christmas Day. White House counterterrorism advisor John Brennan tells Fox News it was a communications breakdown.
There was no smoking gun. There was no piece of intelligence that said this guy's a terrorist, he's going to get on a plane. No, not whatsoever. It was the failure to integrate and piece together those bits and pieces of information.
Okay, joining us now is one of our fortune tellers, Marcus Mabry. He's the international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. And Marcus, you know, 2009 was a pretty busy year. We had a new president, we had healthcare, we had two wars going on, climate change. Could 2010 even possibly match up to the business of last year?
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And unfortunately, I think on that score, I think the big surprise of 2010 is, despite the intractable problems we had in 2009, most of those intractable problems are still with us and actually are more intractable this year than they were last year. You can look specifically at foreign policy. You can look at Iran, where the situation is actually worse than it was a year ago. Afghanistan, where we're more implicated and the situation is no easier than it was a year ago. In fact, getting harder. This year, we'll have things like trade with China, which is going to be a source of tension between the Democrats, some of their leading constituencies like labor. We're going to have the threat of a jobless recovery. And even healthcare, which is going to be was kind of the one kind of flourish at the end of 2009. It was an accomplishment for the administration, their leading domestic priority. At the same time, as you actually nail out a compromise between House and Senate, the Democrats, again, a year ago, it looked like they were going to have healthcare reform that most Democrats would support. Now, you're going to have healthcare reform most likely, but that a lot of Democrats will find a little less than they wanted it to be. So 2010, in many ways, I think will actually be worse than 2009 was.
Well, we're going to ask you in a minute, Marcus Mabry, which one of those will be wrapped up in 2010, but now let's move on to the markets. Dow opens the new year at 10,428. The S&P opens at 1,115. And the NASDAQ is going to start at 2,269.
We talk about family life every Monday. Custody battle is the focus. A mom's disability at the center of whether she's a fit parent. And with many ups and downs, 2009 was a turbulent year for many. The question for all of you, what's the big story of the new year? Tell us at 8778-MY-TAKE.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
clean energy,
healthcare,
growing our economy,
terrorism in the world today,
putting our people back to work,
no fly list,
doing the work that needs to be done.
It's Monday morning, time to look at the agenda for the week. And this is a special Monday, as John Hockenberry pointed out, because it is the first Monday of the new decade. So joining us now is Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times, and from Bush House in London, Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Decade.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about what's on the agenda for the new decade. Marcus, the president is expected to meet yet tomorrow with the heads of his intelligence agencies. He's going to talk about what went wrong on Christmas Day that led to that attempted terror attack. Are we expecting any new information to come out?
We're not. We basically know the kind of contours of what the failure was in security. It was once again a failure of coordination. And I think most disheartening for many security experts is the fact that this is exactly what we were trying to deal with after 9/11, was getting our agencies to talk to one another. We had these silos. We had a separation between foreign and domestic intelligence gathering agencies. We actually got them to talk together more and to coordinate more with threats. They actually have. And the frustrating thing is, despite that, we were faced with the failure that we saw in the attempted Christmas bombings. Unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be new information that will emerge, but I think what will emerge is kind of what is the plan likely to be this time. And so far, it looks like the changes that are going to happen that American travelers will see will mostly be actually on foreign flights, and actually for foreign citizens much more than Americans than on are on domestic flights.
Okay, well, let's talk about those foreign citizens, Jonathan Marcus. All the attention is kind of turned to Yemen at this point because Umar Abdulmutallab traveled to Yemen. That's where the al-Qaeda in Arabian Peninsula is based, and they have claimed responsibility for this. Jonathan, is Senator Joe Lieberman right? Is Yemen tomorrow's war?
I think it is part of today's war, but I think the problem is with that characterization of war. I mean, a lot of people seem to think Yemen is now the new Afghanistan or the next Afghanistan. I think there are serious security concerns there. This is a classic failing state. The government beset there by a whole converging set of crises from civil war, secession in the south, the threat from local al-Qaeda forces and so on. The problem is that I think America simply doesn't have the sort of resources to put into Yemen to follow the Afghanistan model, if you like. And of course, many experts are saying that actually the Afghanistan model is not really the way to pursue problems in Yemen. What you need is sustained interest over time, helping the government there to develop on the democratic front and so on and so forth. So I think we're going to see a rather different template used in Yemen. But it's interesting that the British Prime Minister has already said that a meeting planned, an international meeting planned for later this month in London that was just going to look at Afghanistan, it's now going to have Yemen and its problems very much on the agenda too.
Okay, well, let's move to another country in that part of the world, Marcus Mabry. Iran missed its deadline of December 31st that President Obama had set for them to accept the deal to send their enriched uranium out of the country. Iran has, as according to some people, thrown a bone to the United States in offering a compromise. And at the same time, we're hearing leaks out of the White House that President Obama may be offering targeted sanctions. What's going on with Iran?
Well, you know, right now there's one school of thought in the White House that we actually may have an opportunity now because of the domestic upheavals in Iran and their own the administration in Iran's own political problems at home. There may actually be an opening to reach out to particularly military elites that are not involved with the Revolutionary Guards who have been behind the kind of drive toward a nuclear Iran, nuclear-armed Iran, and look to other parts of the elite to actually compromise and actually between sanctions and speaking to those who may be reasonable elements in Iran able to actually craft a policy that would actually lead to some actual progress on this score. This will be one of the big stories of the year, of course, and it's not, unfortunately, despite that kind of optimism from the administration that there may be this window of opportunity right now. It's far from certain. It's never happened in the past, dealing with Iran, that we've actually been able to take advantage of any of these windows of opportunity.
Well, one of our listener analysts setting the agenda takes it even farther than that, Marcus Mabry, and says the big story in 2010, according to Ivan, who writes us on Facebook, is revolution in Iran. And if you have an idea of what the big story of 2010 is, you can weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE or my take at thetakeaway.org. Revolution?
Always a possibility. Ironically, we've been talking about this in Iran, though, you'll remember, for years, much before the current upheavals.
Okay, so something not related to revolution in Iran is going on at Graceland. They're having a big party for the king of rock and roll this week.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
Friday is the 75th birthday for Elvis Presley, had he survived. And I'm wondering, Marcus, anyone predicted Elvis at his 75th birthday would still be what he is? Or maybe he's changed.
Well, you know,
since his death.
This is, you know.
He's dead?
Well, that's
really
the thing. When you die, you know, relatively young, a lot of people are surprised that, wow, he only would have been 75. You know, it's amazing how, you know, the guy has longevity,
staying
has outlasted
power.
His life.
As the king of rock and roll. Okay, so
I'm amazed that you made a segue from revolution in Iran to
isn't
Elvis.
That's something I can put on my resume.
Yes, indeed.
No kidding. But now let's make a segue from Elvis to the new decade. Elvis Presley, 75 years old, but we are here in a new decade on Monday. And I promised the listeners I was going to ask you both to be fortune tellers. So let's start with you, Jonathan Marcus. This is the first Monday of our new decade. So what do you think is going to, what story will define this year?
I think if I can be a little broader, I think last year was the year in which President Obama set out his stall. He wowed the world in many cases with major speeches in Cairo and Prague and so on. I think this year it's going to be dealing with the nitty-gritty of crises. If the world doesn't change in the way people had hoped it would when Mr. Obama took office, and it's clearly not changing in that direction, what's he going to do about Iran? What's he going to do about stalled Middle East peace? What's he going to do about reaching out to China, but equally defending America's interests strongly against a country which has shown in the, you know, the recent climate talks and so on, that it is prepared to play hardball over its own interests? So I think really this is the year that Mr. Obama has to get down to the nitty-gritty of foreign policy and prove that there is a weight, there is some muscle behind the visionary vision and the idealism that he set out in year one.
Okay, that's what Jonathan Marcus, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, has to say. Marcus Mabry of the New York Times.
Well, I think it's going to come down to, actually, I think all those foreign policy issues, and along with issues like health care and what we actually end up having in the final bill that's finally ratified by both houses, it's all going to come down to the midterm elections. I think I think that's where security is going to play out. I think all these issues are going to come out in the midterm elections in November, and how much the Democrats lose.
Wait, Marcus, that sounds like you're saying 2010 is going to be about partisan bickering.
You know, unfortunately, I think what you saw last summer in the tea bag revolt and lots of those town hall meetings, I think you're going to see on a scale we have not seen before.
You ain't seen nothing yet, right?
That's it.
Marcus Mabry, international business editor for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks to both of you. It is 15 minutes past the hour. Let's take a look ahead at the headlines.
Citizens from 14 nations, including Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, and Yemen, will undergo greater scrutiny whenever they board a flight to the U.S. They're looking at full-body scans, pat-downs, and bag searches, according to new rules that come into effect today. At Newark Airport in New Jersey, flights were grounded for 6 hours last night when a man went through the wrong side of a security checkpoint. Everyone had to be rescreened. The man was not found. NATO officials say 4 U.S. service members and 1 British soldier have been killed in separate bomb attacks in southern Afghanistan. Yesterday's casualties are the first American combat deaths in Afghanistan this year. American and British embassies in the Yemeni capital of Sana'a will remain closed for another day. It's because of what officials call continued threats from al-Qaeda.
Meanwhile, the Yemeni government could get nearly $200 million in U.S. military aid this year. That's more than double last year's figure. The White House counterterrorism advisor is John Brennan.
The Yemeni government has demonstrated their willingness to take the fight to al-Qaeda. They're willing to accept our support. Or we're providing them everything that they've asked for. And they've made some real progress.
Back at home, the government's campaign to promote the 2010 census kicks off today with TV, radio, and print ads and a 30-second spot even during the Super Bowl. And Avatar has become the 5th movie in history to earn $1 billion worldwide. Actually, that makes James Cameron the only filmmaker to have directed 2 billion-dollar earning
guy's in a rut,
movies.
Jeez,
that's a rut I'd like
to
be in. To look at some of the stories you're watching this morning. Coming up, who's to blame for the financial crisis? Ben Bernanke says it ain't the Fed.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.